Welcome to the HVAC Business Growth Podcast. Is your business getting beaten by the competition? Are your profits dwindling? It's time to kickstart your HVAC business. Here's your host, Nick Belowski.
Thank you and welcome to the first ever HVAC Business Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Belowski. It's great to be here. I'd just like to give you a rundown on why this show is actually happening and how it was conceived. It was actually an idea that was running around in my head around 6 months ago, and we finally got around to publishing and broadcasting a show, so it's very, very exciting. So I'd just firstly like to extend an invitation to everybody listening. If they have any questions or anything like that they want answering, they can send those through via email or via Twitter or on the Facebook page. And I'll do my best to answer those questions. Just anything to do with marketing or online marketing in general, I'm happy to answer those on the upcoming show. So I really appreciate any content ideas that you send through. Before we get stuck into the meat of the show, I just thought I'd explain to you my background a little bit and my business background. Originally, I was and still do operate a search marketing company, which is focused really on small and local businesses in a wide variety of markets and niches, just providing search marketing services. So things like search engine optimization, pay-per-click advertising, website design, social media, and just enabling those small and local businesses to obtain more customers in their target market and help to convert them online. I'm sure you guys can imagine that a lot of small businesses, not only in the HVAC or heating and cooling markets, do actually struggle with their marketing. So there was quite a market out there. I guess it was only recently that when I was actually targeting my marketing towards the heating and cooling market or the HVAC market, depending on where you're from, I actually found that you heating and cooling fellows seem to bite just that little bit harder than everybody else. And through my discussions with quite a few business owners now in the heating and cooling market, I've discovered that you guys are actually pretty savvy about marketing and you're quite keen to learn things and do a little better. One frustration that I had when I was just dealing with the mom and pop businesses, you know, the local business down the street, was that some of them didn't quite understand what we were doing, and sometimes they just didn't have the budget to work on it. So the exciting thing is that you guys seem to understand a little bit about what's going on, and you're actually willing to try new things. So for anybody, you can imagine that's an exciting type of person to work with, somebody that actually wants to have a go. So that's how we got started, and that's why now we're going to be focusing into the heating and cooling industry. So we're planning to do quite a lot of news videos coming up, a weekly podcast as well. We're going to have lots of topics written about on the blog, and down the track we're going to be getting into some webinars and seminars, as well as some products and some mastermind coaching as well. So there's a lot planned for you. Hope to bring it to you in the very near future. So let's get stuck into the meat of the show for this week. So we're really going to talk about, it's a direct marketing 101. So if you haven't heard about direct marketing before, from where I'm from, was basically two types of marketing. You have direct marketing and then you have brand marketing. So brand marketing is probably what you're most familiar with. And that's when you just try and splash your name and logo all over the place, all over TV. The brand obviously goes on to radio and all over the internet. And what you're doing is, it's a very long-term strategy and it can actually be quite costly for a couple of reasons. One, you actually don't know where the sales are coming from directly, because generally brand advertising is just about building the image of the company. And secondly, TV and radio, they can cost quite a bit of money. So before you know it, you're out of pocket tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe into the millions if you're quite a heavy duty marketer, and you might be struggling to see a little bit of a return on investment and a result for the money and the effort that you're putting in. So direct marketing, on the other hand, is the first word. Direct marketing is probably the most important one. And that's a very specific type of marketing, and you're actually getting a measurable result on everything that you do. And I think that's probably one of the most important things. Even if you're starting out in business or whether you're an experienced campaigner, in almost every marketing situation, you want to be able to see if you spend a dollar, you get X back. Hopefully it's actually more than a dollar, but what you'll learn later on is that you don't necessarily have to make your money back straight away, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I think what we really need to do is look at the basics of direct marketing. So it's about getting back to the basics of generating and converting leads. That's really the bread and butter and the core of what direct marketing is. So I figure if you're making any mistakes, it's really in the fundamentals. It's not any fancy thing that you're doing. I remember a direct marketing legend saying in a seminar, his name's actually Gary Halbert. He passed away, unfortunately, around 5 years ago. Anyway, Gary Halbert was actually caught in a direct marketing, or at a direct marketing conference, I should say, and he was actually spotted in the beginners seminar. There was actually two seminars, a beginners and advanced, and you had probably the king of direct marketing and copywriting in the beginners seminar. And they said to him, Gary, what are you actually doing in the beginners? Shouldn't you be in the advanced? And he said, no, I actually figure if I'm making any mistakes, it's to do with one of the basic fundamentals, so I want to make sure that I'm getting those right. So I think if it's good enough for Gary Halbert, it's going to be good enough for you guys too. So let's just go over a few of the things that are features of direct marketing and how you need to get direct marketing actually working for your business. So firstly, I think what you need to do is actually identify a market first before a product or service. So most of you guys out there, you probably already have all of your heating and cooling products out there, all of your, depends what you've got, you might have hydronic systems or you might have split systems, or you might be marketing a little bit more business to business. That doesn't really matter. What you need to do is identify the market first and the need of the market before the product or the service. You can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars actually developing products and services, but if there isn't a market for them and the people don't actually want what you produce, then you're actually in a lot of trouble. You're just pouring money down the toilet as far as I can see. So you really need to do a little bit of research first and figure out what the problems are of the market, and then you can actually create a product to suit from there. I'm sure you'll actually find your products and services that you've got now, you might actually be able to re-engineer those a little bit, or relabel them, or re-market them in a way that actually suits the needs and the wants and the desires of the market just that little bit better. So I think it's really important that you look at the market first before the product or the service. Secondly, I think it's really important that you can actually have some access to the market. Where you're actually marketing to is very, very important. If you're selling some super high-end systems, you know, well over, if we're talking in the consumer side of things here, you know, that you might be well over the $10,000 mark with the type of work that you're doing. If you're actually targeting this work at the low income earning population, or you're actually advertising in magazines or newspapers that are a little bit more niched or a little bit more local or targeted at that low income level, you're going to really struggle to get any conversions, because there just isn't a match between the market and the product that you're trying to offer. So as simple as it sounds, I think it's something that you really need to look at. Also, just on that point, having an affinity with the market is actually really important. In fact, it's actually ideal if you're marketing yourself as quite a high-end product or service company. Are you targeting, you know, high-end or high-net-worth individuals with your marketing? I think that's really important. Again, if you're targeting that lower income bracket and you have a bit of a disconnect between your products and services and the market that you're going after, the conversions are going to really struggle. So I think it's a really important point to make that you really need to be able to access the market and also have an affinity with them. The other thing that you need to look at also is the competitiveness of the market. Are you playing in waters that are a little bit too dangerous for your business, or should you actually be making a little bit more of a step up into the major leagues, so to speak? There needs to be some competition in the market. A market without any competition is pretty dangerous. If there isn't any competition in your market, it's probably because your market actually sucks, or people have tried to go into that market before and they've been unsuccessful with it. So you need to have a little bit of competition to make everything worthwhile. And if you can see your competitors spending money consistently in an advertising space, your competitors aren't 100% stupid. Some of them are a little bit stupid. But if they're spending money, it must mean that they're getting some sort of a bite from the market or some sort of return on investment, and it's probably worth going into. And just on the subject of competition, people think about competition in terms of of price. It's probably one of the main things people will speak about in terms of competition. Going about it in that type of manner is probably one of the most stupidest things you can do from a direct marketing perspective. With your direct marketing, you want to make sure that it's impossible for people to compare apples with apples. You want an apples to oranges or apples to any other type of fruit approach there. So if people can compare your business or your offer to every other offer out on the market, then they're pretty much just going to be going on price alone. They can compare all the features and the benefits and they're just going to go with the cheapest one. So that's why I think it's really important that you use your marketing and you use direct response in particular to differentiate yourself between the competition and what you're doing. And it's one thing we'll go into in a later episode. You can almost devote an entire episode to having a USP or a unique selling proposition, but that's going to be on another episode down the track. So on that note, probably if you have any questions about USPs that you want me to answer, maybe just flick them through either via the website or via Twitter or Facebook, and I can answer those on one of the upcoming shows that we're going to do on a unique selling proposition. So one of the features of direct response marketing is the fact that it's actually very accountable to the result, which I think is super important with your marketing. Like I said, with the brand advertising that people are doing, they're throwing money up against the wall, TV, radio, that type of thing, and they're not quite sure of the return on investment. So one of the golden rules is that you must have a call to action in your direct response marketing. So the call to action might be visit the website. And when you're saying visit the website, you're not just going to put your particular website address on there. What you're going to do is actually put a custom landing page or a custom URL on there, so you know that every person that went to that web page actually came from the ad that you created. So you can do that either with a Google tracking URL, or you can just create a different URL altogether, and you know that that page is a bit of a secret to everyone except the people that have actually seen your ad. So if 1,000 people manage to hit that page, you know that that ad that you created actually created 1,000 prospects, I guess you could say, 1,000 people visiting that particular web page. And from there, again, using all of your sales analytics tools, Google Analytics is again good for this, and then check your sales volume from there. You can see what actually happened in terms of inquiries and sales from that traffic. So in a very short space of time, maybe even within a week, definitely, you can actually see whether that direct response newspaper ad that you created, or that improvement in the radio ad that you created, or the online pay-per-click campaign that you've done, whether it actually has an impact to your bottom line at all. So you can, again, like I said, check how many people came through to the website. That's the first thing you want to check. Or how many people called your business. There's obviously a few different actions you can get people to take. How many inquiries you got from there. So that's going to give you an idea in terms of what your conversion's like, either on your website or from your telephone staff. How many appointments you made, whether that's actually applicable to your business, and then how many sales you made from there. And then obviously you can work out a profit. So if you sell a unit and just say you make $5,000 in profit or $500 profit, and the ad cost you $5,000 to run, you can work out whether the ad that you ran is actually profitable at all. Just a bit of a side note to that, one thing that you need to do is actually measure the lifetime value of the customers that are coming through the business. So I said you could actually measure the productivity of what you're doing or the effectiveness of what you're doing after 1 week. If you have a lifetime customer value philosophy in your business, meaning that just say you're a consumer business and you have a servicing department, you really don't know the lifetime value of a customer after a little while, in terms of just say you sell them a particular unit and then they have it serviced, and then they might actually refer some people on to your business if you have any kind of referral marketing program going. So the lifetime customer value of the customer that's coming into your business could actually be a lot higher than what you think it is, but that's just another side note. So I think it's important with the direct marketing that you're doing that you actually have a philosophy of testing the market. So don't be afraid to pay for testing. One thing that will absolutely cripple your growth if you're too much of a cheapskate to actually go out and try things and test new ideas and test new marketing methods, you're never actually going to find out what works for you. So the only risk that you've had really is in an expensive test. You can get started with some online pay-per-click marketing for $500 if you want to run some Google AdWords campaigns. You might get a couple of hundred clicks for $500 and you'll actually find out whether your offers or whether your web pages actually convert. I think it's really, really important, and you need to do it quickly, but also need to give it some time as well. So you might do it for 1 or 2 months, or you might spend a set amount of money. Just make sure you get enough people to the offer that you've got to actually make it statistically significant thing that you've actually done. So as long as you're always testing and you're actually learning from the tests that you're doing, then you're in a really good place, because you can use the test results to actually fuel other marketing activities that you've done. If you're constantly out there testing what you've done, if you have a Yellow Pages rep come in or a rep from another advertising company, you know what works for your business because you've tested it. You could literally spend months and months just actually testing a particular advertising medium. So you might actually just be testing a landing page that you've got on your website, and you can do things like test the headline, what the headline actually says, test the color, test the positioning, test the subheadings, test the bullet points, put a video on there, don't put a video on there, change the length of the video if you've got a video on there, change the style of the video, the presentation of the video. There's so many different things that you can actually test. Obviously, you only want to be testing one, maybe two things at a time. One is obviously preferable, so you can actually see the negative or positive or neutral effects of what you're actually doing in your campaigns. Okay, now it's time for the tip of the week. So this tip of the week really is to take some action on some of the things that we spoke about in the podcast up to date. So what I want you to do is head over to Google Analytics and actually go through, or spend probably half an hour just going through some of the learning activities that they have in there. So what we're going to do is actually go into our analytics and actually make sure we have some goals set up, some conversion goals. So obviously they're going to be different for every business. You'll have a different conversion goal for your business. And then what we're going to do is actually head over to Google AdWords. So you should have this all connected in the same account. And what we're going to do is actually run an inexpensive test. So if you're doing local marketing into your particular suburb or town, what I want you to do is actually pick out some key phrases. And again, Google AdWords will help you with this. So what I want you to do is head on over to Google AdWords and actually set up a campaign for your business if you don't already have one. Set it up around your local business or town and actually drive some traffic to your homepage or some actually specific web pages that are specific to any products or services that you're actually offering. So if you're in the market of selling some split system air conditioners, then sends split system traffic related to your local area to that particular page. So obviously that's going to be very targeted traffic. So if you're using Google as an example here, people are going to be typing in, it might be their town or location, split system air conditioners. If your business comes up and you service that area, you've got a pretty good shot of landing either a phone call or a consultation, or at least a visitor to the website that you can use as pretty vital business information to make some decisions off later on. So if we can do that, just spend around maybe $500, maybe a little bit more. What you want to do is probably get around 300 clicks coming to the website. So depending on the town that you're in, that could take 3 days, it could take 3 weeks, or it could take 3 months. Again, just depends on the town that you live in and how much traffic is going to be coming to the site. And what I want you to do is actually test that across maybe 10 to 20 different key phrases, okay? And again, make the landing pages that you're sending people to as specific as you possibly can. So I want you to do this test and actually get back to me again via the website or Facebook or Twitter and tell me if you've come across any challenges or whether you've actually made some money from implementing this test. If you actually have a think about it, just say if you're spending $500, if you have a pretty good profit per customer, you've only got to maybe go at, just say you get 300 clicks. You know, how many people do you actually need? So let's just think about this for a second. If you spend $500 and just say you might get 250 clicks through to your website. So if we just do a little bit of math on that, we're actually going to be paying $2 per click, which, depending on where you're from, that could be quite a high amount or quite low for some markets, depending on where you're playing. So if we get 250 clicks coming through and we get 25 phone calls from those 250 clicks, that's a 10% conversion rate to a phone call. And say from there, if we close 10% of those phone calls into actually customers, that's 2.5 customers. So why don't we just round that down to two? So two customers and you spent $500. So obviously from a profit perspective, if we want to break even, we need to make $250 of profit per customer just on that initial transaction to break even. Again, I think I mentioned earlier in the show, you have the lifetime value of your customer as well. So that's not to mention any servicing that might happen depending on the product or service that you actually sell or any referrals that you can generate from them. So I think this is going to be quite a worthwhile test. Again, let me know how you go with it. I'd love to see some positive results. That's all we've got time for today. So I hope to see you next week on the HVAC Business Growth Podcast. Thank you.
This has been another edition of the HVAC Business Growth Podcast. For more marketing tips and strategies, go to the website hvacbusinessgrowth.com.